problems, but a voice of triumph. Let's do that. Clap our hands and give God a shout of triumph all across the building. He's worthy of all of our praise. Why don't you praise him like everything's already finished and completed that God has spoken in your life? Why don't you give God praise, hallelujah, like you're standing on the other side of the storm and you know God made a way where there was no way? Why don't you go ahead and give God a praise like you already made it out of what you can't see through? Why don't you go ahead and give God that praise, a victorious praise, a triumphant praise, a shout of victory? Oh, that's it. Let's do that for a moment. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. It feels good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. Give honor to your pastor in his absence, and thankful to be invited to be preaching for such a wonderful church. Thank you, Brother Dawson, for lunch today. It was fantastic, and the fellowship, we enjoyed ourselves thoroughly. And you know, I just tell somebody, there's nothing like being in the kingdom of God. Nothing like being part of the church. Amen. Hallelujah. With that being said, let's go to the Bible in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. If you'll keep my wife and I in prayer as we continue to travel, we'll greatly appreciate that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We've been battling sickness and all sorts of stuff last few weeks, and we're just thankful to be on the other side of it. Hallelujah. I really feel like God wants to help some people here tonight, and I might preach, I might teach, I might do a little bit of both, who knows? But I really feel like God wants to bring some understanding to some folks and really just light a fire in somebody's spirit. And so if you'll help me preach tonight, amen, it'll hopefully help you out here tonight. In Jesus' name. Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 32, the Bible says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, and of Samson and Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented." This is what the Bible says about our brothers and sisters, "of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." I'll just stop right here and tell you that all those great heroes of faith that are in our Bible, they are absolute heroes of faith. But the Bible says that without us, they cannot be perfected. In other words, they need us and we need them. Amen. Amen. They need us just like we need their stories. They need us to continue, amen, in our story as well. Hallelujah. But skipping back to verse 35, the Bible says, "Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance." And that's what I want to preach to us for a few moments on for a minute. Not accepting deliverance. Would you set your Bibles down and lift up your hands? And let's pray one more time in the name of Jesus. Come on, lift up your voice and let's pray. God, help us, Jesus, to not accept deliverance. Lord, we love you, Jesus. We give you glory and honor and praise. Hallelujah. There's nobody like you. There's none beside you. And we are praying, God, that you'd bring revelation in this house. God, bring deliverance. Amen. Bring anointing in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody said amen. Shake your neighbor's hand. Tell him God bless you and you may be seated. Amen. Not accepting deliverance. Hebrews 11:4, most of us here tonight that have studied the Bible at all, is well known as the chapter of faith. The reason that is because in it you will find heroes of the Bible and their actions that were considered to be acts of great faith. There is one common theme among all the heroes of faith. They all seem to fight against the grain of the things that seem to surround them. Whether we were to go through this list, which we would not have time to go through, we could talk all night about Noah, who the Bible says that he moved with fear and he built an ark to the saving of his household. Amen. In fact, it's really kind of insane if you think about it, that a man would build a boat in a place where there is no water. That a man would build a boat in that kind of condition is crazy alone. But if you think about the fact that he says it's going to rain and there's never been rain on the earth, you can take him for being a lunatic. But yet the Bible says that he moved with fear. And he built that ark for one reason. He built that ark for the saving of his household. He could have stopped right there when everybody began to mock him. And the Bible says that every imagination in that day was evil, continual. People were not living for God. People weren't doing right. And Peter says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. It wasn't as bad as him just building a boat. But then all of a sudden, he had to start talking about righteousness and talking about the things of God. He could have very easily sat back and done nothing. But I want you to understand something about Noah. He wasn't just a lunatic. He wasn't just a preacher of righteousness and a boat builder. But he was a father. And he understood that if I don't build this boat, if I don't preach righteousness, amen, I'm not going to be able to save my family. And so Noah, in spite of being called crazy, in spite of being considered a lunatic, he moved with the fear that God was about to come down and rain upon the earth, because he understood, I've got to save my family, not just from the rain, but I got to preach righteousness, because I got to save my family from the wickedness of this society. And I don't care what anybody thinks and what anybody says, I'm still going to build the boat, and I'm still going to go ahead and build my family around the things of God. Oh, somebody give the Lord some praise. That's what you're doing in the house of God. You're preaching righteousness every time you lift up your hands. You're preaching righteousness every time you come to church and say amen. You're preaching righteousness every time that you bring your family to the house of God. But every time you're at home, build that boat, build that ark for the saving of your household. Somebody lift up your hands and just begin to worship the Lord. Come on, let's lift up our hands and let's praise him. We're not doing this, amen, because we took a poll and found out what everybody thinks about us. We're moving with fear because we know God's coming back, and we don't have time to sit back and to be quiet about it. But we got to build this boat. We got to build this kingdom. We got to build the church of the living God. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. In spite of the wickedness, Noah preached righteousness. In spite of the fact that there was no rain and there was no water, Noah built an ark. Amen. We could spend all night talking about Noah. Or maybe We could skip over and we could talk about Moses, who was born to be a Hebrew, but he was raised to be an Egyptian. And the Bible lets us know that one day God put it in his heart to go down and to visit the children of Israel, to go down and to visit God's people. And it was this encounter where Moses, something struck a chord in his heart. Something resonated with him. He realized, I might have been raised to be an Egyptian, but I know I was born to be an Israelite. I know I was born with a purpose, and I was saved for a reason. I know my mama put me in an ark, amen, made of bulrushes, not so I could go ahead and have all the fanciest of things, but I was saved for a purpose. I was saved so that I could save others. I was delivered so that I could deliver others. And something struck a chord in the heart of Moses, and he went down. And that was at that moment. The book of Hebrews says there came a day where he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I'm going to tell somebody here today, there can come a moment where you can refuse the way you were raised. You can refuse the tags on your life. They might have said, you're an Egyptian, you're royalty of this world, but you can recognize, no, I was born with a greater purpose. I was born with a greater desire. I was born. Let me help some folks that weren't raised in the best of environments. They might have said, you'll always be a drunk like your dad was a drunk. You'll be on drugs like your family was on drugs. You can be refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. See, they might have raised you one way, but you know, I was born to be a child of God. I was So I refuse that. I refuse that tag over my family. I refuse that tag over my life. Oh, somebody, lift up your hands and just begin to pray. You're not bound to what you were raised to be. You're not bound by what they called you. Oh, lift up your hands. I feel the Holy Ghost sweeping in this building. There's some people that can absolutely get delivered tonight. There's some folks you can get delivered over the fact your parents might have called you stupid, but you know God says greater things about you. They might have said you were a mistake, but when you come in the house of God, you know I was born with a purpose from God. Let's lift up our hands. And let's pray all across this building. I feel Jesus.
I feel Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come on, let's pray. I feel Jesus in this building. There's some folks, the reason that you just can't seem to move forward in life is because you can't let go of the tags and how Pharaoh's daughter raised you. But guess what? You might have been raised to think one way, but you're in the kingdom of God now. And this culture supersedes whatever culture you were raised in. This kingdom supersedes whatever kingdom you were raised in. You can go ahead right now and make it up in your mind. I refuse that. I refuse that. I refuse that. It might be status quo in this world. It might be popular, but I refuse to be called that.
Amen. He could have stayed and lived a comfortable lifestyle just like everybody else in the book of Hebrews 11. But instead, they went against the grain. They fought in the midst of adversity. They were people and champions that rose to the occasion when all of the other things seemed to be against them. Because no matter how hard or impossible situations might seem, God always has somebody that is full of faith that can step forward and combat the doubt of this world. It doesn't matter how bleak the world gets in this last and final day. It doesn't matter what kind of tensions are surrounding every time you get online and see the news. God's always going to have a people that are full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. God's always going to have a people that in the midst of everybody going crazy, he's going to have a church that knows whose they are. They're going to know, amen, the difference between male and female. They're going to know the difference, amen, between the right mind and a lost mind. They're going to know what way is up and what way is down. They're going to know what's good and what is evil. There's going to have a people even in this generation. I love the ending to Hebrews 11. The writer goes through and he lists. Now, we could talk all night about every hero in Hebrews 11, but we'd be here for a while. Amen. But the writer lists all these biblical heroes, and even he admits time would fail me. He admits that time itself would run out. And I'll just stop right here and tell somebody that there is something greater than time itself. There is something that will outlast time, something that goes beyond the limits of time, and that is people with a testimony. That is people that have been through the flood, they've been through the fire, and they've seen God come through in the midst of it all. And you know what? Time will wrap up one day, but the Bible lets us know that we're going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. I'm going to tell you, time's going to be finished one day, but there's still going to be people sitting around the throne of God saying, guess what? Back there in 2017, I thought it was over and I thought it was done. But let me tell you about how God came through. Let me tell you how faith brought me through the hardest trials of life back in 2009. There's going to be people that when time is said and done, their testimonies will not be done. Some people wonder why we're going to praise when we get to heaven. Because you know what? It might as well just be one giant testimony service when we look back on our lives and we see the grace of God, the mercy of God, the goodness of God. That's why it's the sound of many waters, because we're just telling the goodness of the Lord. Oh, somebody give the Lord some praise. Why don't you take a few moments and just go ahead and testify with your worship that God's been good. Why don't you take a few moments before you get to heaven and just let God know, you brought me out, you brought me through, and you'll bring me to heaven too. Somebody give him a shout of praise. Come on, if you got a testimony, you don't need the mic to tell it. Why don't you tell it with your worship and tell it with your praise and tell it with a shout from your lips and a clap from your hands and a dance from your feet. God brought me out. Oh, Jesus. Amen. Now, if we were to talk about people, the writer says we'd run out of time. But I believe it was John or Luke that wrote, if we were to write about Jesus. Hebrews 11 said if we were to write about people of faith, we'd run out of time. But the writer said if we were to talk about Jesus, he said, there's not enough space in all the universe, the world, and worlds could not contain the books that would be written about him. Can I tell you, if we were to take a few moments and just talk about Jesus and just talk about the goodness of Jesus, not only is there not enough time, but there's not enough space. Not only is there not enough space here on earth, not only is there not enough space in this universe, there's not enough space on Google to talk about the goodness of God. Amen. There's not enough space, not enough time. He's been too good. Does anybody believe he's been too great? I don't got enough time. Honey, I don't got enough space to begin to worship God the way he really deserves it. I don't got enough. If you believe he's been good, why don't you go ahead and take a moment and just begin to praise him? You know what? You go ahead and take whatever space you need and just give God. He's been good. He's a way maker. He's a way maker. He's a chain breaker. He's everything that we need. Amen. He says, I could spend all this time writing. And while he runs through the list of heroes, he stops and does what any good writer would do. He tries his best to account for the nameless multitudes that showed great faith. People that never got famous over their deeds. They never had a book in the Bible written about them. They never had anybody come by and proverbially pat them on the back. There was no award with their name on it. There's no plaque. In fact, there's probably not even a cemetery stone with their name on it. But the writer of Hebrews wanted to make sure that everybody here tonight in 2017 would know that even the nameless multitudes are heroes of faith. There are people here tonight that you feel like nobody notices me. I just come to church. I slip in the back pew. And the pastor doesn't even know my last name, and it must not be very important. I've come to tell you that are nameless and those that don't necessarily have a record in the Bible, you are just as much a hero of faith as those that are written in this book. If you overcome by the blood of Jesus. I wish somebody would start to believe that about yourself. What could you do for God if you realize the value and the weight that God Almighty puts on you? Yes, you just hold open a door. And yes, maybe you just teach Sunday school kids or hand out snacks. But guess what? You're a hero of faith. He said, others, others, others. I don't got a name. I don't got a book, but I'm part of others. I'm part of the others. Amen. He said, in the midst of this chapter, he talked of the unnamed faithful. And we have one phrase that sticks out that seems to define their attitude and their spirit that is needed to overcome in the faith. The Bible says others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. In the hall of faith, we find a people that even in the midst of great pain and torture, refuse to give up their faith. People, amen, that refused to give up their faith. They refused the deliverance that was offered to them because they knew that it came at a price. They refused the deliverance that the enemy was offering to them because they knew that it was going to cost them something. Whether you want to talk about James, who was beheaded, or Peter, who history says was crucified upside down, they all went through the pain, and they all went through the torture, and they all refused to compromise their belief, even if it meant death, even if it meant pain, even if it meant torture. And I'm going to tell you, if you're going to be a Christian in this hour and in the hour to come, that's the kind of faith that we got to have. Come hell or high water, we're going to have faith through it all. We're going to not let go and not accept deliverance. Oh, let's worship Jesus all across the building. Come on, let's worship him. It's not time to give up, and it's not time to give in. We've got a great cloud of witnesses that have been through the mess, been through the muck, and they came out as fine gold. They went through the fire, and it purified them. They went through the flood, and it saved them. We are standing here today because people refused deliverance. Why don't you lift up your hands and let's pray in the name of Jesus. Oh God, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh Jesus, I feel the Holy Ghost. Come on, let's pray. Come on, it's not time to quit. It's not time to give up. It's not time to give in. It ain't that bad. Hallelujah. God's still on the throne. God's still moving. God's still working. And I want to preach, and I promise we're almost done. And I want to preach for a few more moments in the spirit of these faithful brethren and sisters about a few deliverances that we must not accept. But first, I want to talk about some counterfeit deliverers. There are some folks that believe other people can be their deliverer. 2 Thessalonians 3:2 says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. I just want to squelch that and tell you that nobody else can be your deliverer than Jesus Christ himself. Not a girlfriend, not a boyfriend, not a government system, not a political... Not Trump, not the Senate, not the Congress, not the U.S. It ain't going to be your salvation, honey. It's not going to be your deliverance. We know a God that is your deliverance. And of his kingdom, there shall be no end. Of his government, amen, it's going to keep on moving and keep on growing. There's a lot of people that think maybe my boss, if he gives me the right kind of raise, my life's going to get better. No amount of money has the ability to set you free and to deliver you and to change your life. That's why there's millionaires hooked on crack. That's why there's people that got degrees that can't seem to find their way, amen, out of the mess they're in. Because education can't deliver you. Money can't deliver you. It's a counterfeit. And there's some folks that think they can deliver themselves. Romans 1:24 says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. In other words, there's a point where God says, well, if you think you can do it on your own, I'll go ahead and let you try. But just in case anybody feels like go ahead and trying to do it on their own, I'll go ahead and just finish out Romans 1 for you and tell you it doesn't turn out very well when we try to think we can do this all by ourselves. We got something else coming. We can't do it, amen, by ourselves, and no one else can do it for us. That's why we need Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the Messiah. He is the creator. He is the deliverer. He is the way maker. He is the door. He is the bread. He is the living water. He's everything that we need. In case anybody thinks maybe I can get deliverance elsewhere, you're in the right place here today, because we didn't come here to give you deliverance via our education, and we're not going to offer deliverance based on the fact that we know it all, but we're going to tell you that there's a God in this place that can absolutely bring deliverance. But the devil has tricked the minds of people into accepting counterfeit deliverances. And the Bible lets us know in Acts 26:28, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Jesus talked with a rich young ruler who asked him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? But can I tell you, that when it got said and done and Jesus told him, the Bible lets us know that he was sad at that saying and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. There's two things that these people had in common. They both wanted to hear about eternal life. They both wanted to hear about salvation. They both wanted to hear the gospel. But I'm going to tell you a deliverance that they fell into, and it's called the almost deliverance. And if we're not careful, we'll start letting the devil come by and telling us, you know what, you might as well not respond to the preaching. You know, that altar call ain't really for you. You can go ahead and sit back another day. Don't you realize, rich young ruler, you got a lot of possessions and you got a lot of things going on in your life. Amen. And he walked away instead of getting a hold of what God is offering. And if we're not careful, the devil will just throw up a counterfeit deliverance and say, why don't you just go ahead and almost have it? But I'm going to tell you, you can't almost be saved. You can't almost get into heaven. We must not accept that kind of deliverance. We're not the church that's got an almost deliverance. We got an absolute. You got to beware of the almost. I almost paid my tithes. I almost was obedient to the word. I was almost baptized. I was almost filled with the Holy Ghost. I almost worshiped at church. I almost. It's a counterfeit that we must not accept. There's people that love to come to church and hear the gospel and hear the preaching and hear the singing, just like Agrippa, and say, you know what, let me hear it again. I really like that song. Let me hear it again. But when the delivering power of God comes by, there's something else that grips Agrippa. And he steps back and says, well, you know, right now is not that great of a time. I might as well just not get a hold of that. We must not accept the almost deliverance. Exodus 10 and 24 says, and Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. Another portion of scripture says, you can go, but let your kids stay here in Egypt. I'll preach about the partial deliverance. We must not accept a partial deliverance. I felt that while I was preaching this morning. Amen. There's some folks that are okay with being blurry, and they live their whole lives half blind and half delivered. There's people that are okay with coming to church, amen, as long as they can smoke when they walk out the building. And if you're not careful, the devil will trick you into accepting another kind of deliverance and signing your signature on being almost delivered or partially delivered. And you know, I kind of go to church, but I kind of like this music as well. I kind of go ahead and I listen to the preacher, but I kind of don't as well. I got this one day, and the next day I got more. Oh, let's lift up our hands and let's pray. I hope I'm helping somebody. I'm coming against the lying voice of the devil that's been trying to trick people. Yeah, you can go ahead and go to church. That's a great idea. But you know, I don't know about all that. You go ahead and do it halfway. Go ahead and give God a hallelujah. Go ahead and just live it part of the time. We must not accept the partial deliverance. Pharaoh said, you know what? You can get out, but let me keep your finances. Anybody sick of the devil messing with your bank account? He said, you can get out, but I'm keeping your kids. You can get out, but I'm keeping your family. We can't accept that. Honey, if we're coming out of this thing, I'm coming out with everything God has promised to me. If God is going to be big enough and bad enough to set me free, he can set my finances free. He can set my health free. And you know what? He can set my family free as well.
Somebody has got to get the faith to not accept the fact that the devil said, you might as well forget about your family, forget about your mom, forget about your dad. You go ahead, you go, but forget about your kids. And, oh, let's praise him. Let's praise him all across the building. We will not accept that. It's partial and it's not of God. We will not accept. We're coming out and our kids are coming too. We're getting out and our cattle's coming. Oh, let's lift up our hands and let's pray all across the building. In fact, let's stand and lift up our hands and let's pray. I promise we're done right here. Musicians can come. There's some people the devil's been lying to you that you can go ahead and you can get free. But I'm going to hold on to this part of your life. I'm going to hold on to that part of your life. I'm not going to let this go. You might as well go ahead. You can worship God on Sunday, but I'm not going to let you go. Other parts of the week. Exodus 8 and 27 says, Moses speaking, we will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. I'm going to come against one of the biggest false deliverances that some people accept. I'm about to come against, amen, a deliverance that is not of God, that too many people have gone ahead and said, you know what, I'll sign the terms and agreements. That sounds okay. Freedom for a week sounds like a great deal. Freedom for a month sounds like a great deal. If there's one deliverance the church can't accept, that is the temporary deliverance where God sets you free and the devil says, just don't go very far away. Get free on Sunday. Just don't go very far away. Go ahead. You can go until Wednesday, but I want you back on Thursday morning. We must not accept. We will not accept almost. We will not accept partial. We definitely won't accept temporary. The Bible says when an unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walks about in dry places seeking rest and finds none. And Brother Irvin, you know what he says? I'll go back to my house. This dude had been delivered. And here the devil says, no, it's still my house. Because somewhere along the lines, he accepted temporary. And he says, you know what? Not only am I coming back, I'm bringing a house party with me. Seven more spirits worse than himself. All because somebody was okay accepting the devil's deliverance. I'm going to tell you the truth. If there's one thing I've seen over and over as I traveled, it's people that become okay. They're just scared. I don't know what it is. Maybe they're intimidated of what the devil's going to do or what they think the devil can do. I've come to tell you, God's got more power than any devil in hell. You can stack them all up, and God is still infinitely more power. And they start to think, you know, I'll go ahead and maybe they get beyond the almost. Some people can't even get out of their seat. Altar call comes and they just, you know, almost. And the devil just holds them back where they are. Other folks, they get up and they begin to pour their heart out to God. And the devil says, stop right there. And they stop. And there's others that get enough tenacity. They go all the way and they begin to clean their heart out and clean their life out and repent before God. And they begin to just cry out and God washes them all the way. That man was swept in garnish. He was cleaned up. He wasn't the man that God found. He was a new creature. He was a new man. And maybe he prays. And there comes a moment where he gets empty. And the devil says, I'll go back. Because he has an agreement with me. It's just temporary. But I've come to tell this church, you don't have to accept not one of those. And others, even if they had to be tortured, even if they had to fight, even if they had to keep praying, even if they had to keep working, and others were tortured, not accepting the enemy's deliverance. And if there's ever got to be an hour where we say, no, devil, not on your terms, not on your conditions. We want everything that God has for us. God's deliverance is not almost, it's absolute. It's not partial, it's complete. And it sure ain't temporary, it's eternal. There's some people you've been wanting God to deliver you. Amen. But you know what? It's time to cut ties with the devil in your life that keeps calling you back every time you feel like you get free. In church, out of church, in church, out of church. It's time that somebody says, God, I want you to be my deliverer. Would you lift up your hands and let's pray. I want to open up this altar, not an admission of guilt, but an opportunity for somebody to say, devil, I'm not accepting deliverance. You had me before, but not again. You tricked me once, but you ain't tricking me twice. I wonder if there's anybody that's got the tenacity to say, God, I want everything. And I don't want it just for a month and just for a Sunday night, but I want it all. As the musicians sing, I wonder if some men of God can begin to pray with some folks. I wonder if we can empty our pews and come to the front and say, God, you're the only deliverer. I wonder if there's anybody that can begin to tell hell, I'm not accepting your terms and conditions. I'm not accepting your deliverance. I'm accepting God's. Come on, somebody. I feel the Holy Ghost. Would you lift up your hands? God, not almost, absolute, not partial. I want to be complete. Amen. And Lord, I refuse temporary. I want to be yours indefinitely.
Nobody told me the road.
A deliverance that comes from heaven, and it's laying in this building today. Grab a hold of it and tell the devil, I'm not accepting your offer because I got a better offer, and his name is Jesus. I got a better deliverer, and his name is Jesus, and he'll take me all the way.
Nobody told me that the road would be easy.
to reach out to God and say, God, fill me up, fill me up, fill me up, so I don't give up. Fill me up.
I just can't give up now.
Come on, God's in this building. Get a hold of everything God has for you. Get a hold. I want everything God promised. I want everything God promised. Why don't you worship with the person next to you and just begin to give God praise, because you know He sets you free. He sets you all the way free. He sets you completely free. He sets you absolutely. Why don't you go ahead and give God praise that He's that He that saves you is able also to keep you. Come on, give Him some praise. If you know He brought you out and He's got the ability to take you in.
Nobody told me.
come on, right now, all over this place, would you lift up your hands right now? And let's just give them thanks that we serve a God that delivers to the utmost. We serve a God that moves and delivers when we need him. Oh, I need somebody that's been through a few things right now to give God some praise right now. I need for your worship right now to be a testimony to where God has brought you from. Somebody right now needs to remember the place where God pulled you from and testify of his goodness and his mighty works right now. Somebody lift up some high praise all over this place right now. Come on, clap your hands. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so in this place right now. God is so wonderful. He's so good. We've got somebody about to be baptized right now, and so if you have time, come stay and rejoice with us about that. Another one's about to go down in the name of Jesus. Otherwise, Lord bless you guys. We're going to have a wonderful night. We'll see you guys back here on Wednesday night. We'll have an apostolic worship service and then back into our sessions on Wednesday night. Lord bless. Love and greet somebody.